Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, I need your help. I'm asking for your help. Help me to convey what you've laid on my heart and help me to follow you. Help me to follow you in the direction you want to go in. Thank you for it now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. With the help of the Holy Ghost, I'm going to preach and teach you out of the rat race. Listen to what I'm about to say. You don't need money to get out the rat race. You don't have to be the smartest. Because you're getting out of the race, you don't have to be the quickest. You don't have to be the fastest. But you will have to be faithful. You will have to be honorable. And you will have to have a pure heart. Now, don't take those words lightly. Today, you're coming out of the rat race. Getting up in the morning, going to your jobs, doing the same whole humdrum thing, getting the same humdrum check, dealing with the same humdrum people, getting out of your frustrations. That ends today. That ends today. Go with me to Exodus, the 30th chapter. My wife is endeavoring to read the whole Bible. And in her reading, sometimes we would be driving in an RV and she'll start reading out loud to me. And she began to read, she was just happened to be in Exodus and read in Exodus, and particularly the 15th verse. All right? Exodus 30, verse 15. I want to read this because this is Moses giving some laws. The rich shall not give more, and the, now listen to what it says, and the poor shall not give less than half a shekel when they give an offering unto the Lord to make an atonement for their souls. When she read that scripture, she said, Leroy Jr., where did the poor come from? And me and her started conversing back and forth because in Exodus 30, you got to remember now, the book of Exodus is about them leaving Egypt. How did they leave Egypt? So why in the 30th chapter, the law, Moses giving the law that the rich shall give this amount and the poor shall give this amount? Something happened. The rat race has been in existence longer than you think. Now, let me make it clear for you. These are God's chosen people. God performed miracles, got them out of Egypt. Watch this. Got them out of Egypt. They were rich. They wasn't sick. But we get to this 30th chapter, and Moses is giving a law about the rich gonna give this much and the poor give this much. What happened? What happened? If you read through Exodus, you start seeing the people of Israel. First of all, you got to understand where they come from. They come out of 400 years of slavery. All right, so their mindset is in a certain place. Their mindset is in a certain place. And so here they are, they're coming out of, now listen to me. Here they're coming out of Egypt with all this money coming straight out of slavery. So their mindset is in a certain place. So now their mindset is in a certain place, is not in trusting God. They begin to trust themselves. Because watch this, they begin to believe that bartering, trading, and selling is what makes you prosperous. So they begin to lean on the arm of the flesh and begin to barter, trade. Because watch this. First of all, let's ask this question. Because you gotta ask these questions. God loves questions, by the way. He loves questions. He loves for you to ask questions because he can answer. He's the answer. So there's no question you can ask that he can't answer. So we have to ask this question. What were they buying and what were they selling because they were in the wilderness? They didn't have to buy no food. Why didn't have to buy no food? Their clothes didn't wear out. Shoes didn't wear out. So what was it? What was it? I'm getting ahead of myself. What was it that caused them to all of a sudden, after 29 chapters, to go from being rich to now having some rich and some poor? Go with me to Genesis. First chapter. Because we must understand that God created prosperity. God created wealth. God created the abundant life. So when somebody creates something, the creator always knows how to operate in what was created better than those he give it to. Is this making sense? So in Genesis, the first chapter, verse 26, God said, let us make man after our image, after our likeness, after our kindness, give them dominion, right? So if we're made in the image of God, that means God looked at himself. And say, let me make man like me. Right? So if God is the creator of prosperity, he's the creator of wealth, he's the creator of abundant life, and we're made in his image, that means prosperity, wealth, and abundance is already in you. It's already in you. In the second chapter of Genesis, you begin to go and you begin to see how God begins to describe Eden. He said there's gold there. Not just gold, but good gold. Delium, all these precious stones, all these wonderful things. So this came out of the mind of God. Because he created Eden, right? He made us in his image. Because we're made in his image, whatever is reflected and whatever God reflected on the outside in Eden is already in us. Because it is already in us, we're going to have to learn, watch this now, listen very carefully. We're going to have to learn to let prosperity come from us. The rat race is trying to go get prosperity come to you. I'm gonna show you how to get out of the rat race. You don't need money to get out of the rat race. That's what y'all think, and that's why a lot of times you stay stuck. Right. Working the mundane jobs without. Let me define what the rat race is. What the rat race is. Rat race is getting up in the morning, going to your job for the check. You already know that they ain't paying you enough. That's why the Israelites, that's why after 29 chapters, they had some rich and some poor. Because they started leaning to the arm of the flesh. See, you got some people, let's just be honest, some people are just smarter than others. There's some people that are just more talented than others. And so when you lean, if you lean to the arm of the flesh, you're at the mercy of the smarter and the more talented. So If God is the creator of wealth, he's the creator of abundance, he's the creator of abundant life, we have to learn how to allow wealth to come from us. Abundance come from us. Wealth comes from us. I want you to understand, it comes from you. It comes from you. How is it that the greater one lives on the inside of you and you got to go outside to get something? We're made in the image of God. If we're made in the image of God, then prosperity is already in us. Turn with me to Genesis, the 12th chapter, the 3rd verse. I'm going to have to take my time. I'm not going to be monotonic, but I'm going to take my time. Genesis, the 12th chapter, 3rd verse. We've been reading the scripture throughout the week. Genesis, the 12th chapter, 3rd verse. It talks about Abraham leaving his mother and father. He said, God said, I'm going to bless those that bless you. And that 3rd verse, he said, I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. All right, this is God talking, right? Proverbs 10:22. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. He had no sorrow with it, right? Deuteronomy 8:18, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. That he may say, he swore, he may establish his covenant where he swore unto his fathers, unto thy fathers, right? Job 36:11. If you should spend your days in prosperity and your years in pleasure, if you obey and serve it. All right. Isaiah 1:19. If you be willing and obedient, you should eat the good of the land. What I'm trying to get you to see is that God is going to back up what he's promised, but we got to do our part. All right, I'm gonna show you what your part is. See, a lot of y'all think it's just the seed. But if it's relegated to just the seed, then it becomes a system. And then if it becomes a system, you no longer need a relationship or fellowship with the Father because I can do it because of the system. So it's just not the seed. You sowing the seed is going to come from the relationship. It's going to come from you. It's going to come from the fellowship. See, it's not just the act of you actually just giving. What is behind the giving? What is roaming around in the places that we can't see? In your mind, in your heart. Is this making sense? Go to Matthew, the 6th chapter. My favorite chapter, the whole Bible. Verse 19, it says, lay not up for yourself treasures upon the earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, that will be your heart also. Now remember I said abundance comes from you. So the Bible says, for wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. So whatever you focus your heart on is where your treasure is going to be. This is why you don't need money to get out of the rat race, because if you put your heart in the right place, that's where all the treasure is going to be.
Wow. Say that.
So then abundance is going to come from you.
Yeah. Say it again. That's good.
Yeah. Is this making sense?
Yeah, yeah.
See, if I put my heart in the right place, that's where the treasure is going to be. So then now abundance comes from me. What does it say in 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter and the 7th verse? Let every man purpose it in his
heart
what to give, not grudging or necessity, but God loves a cheerful giver. Verse 8 is very powerful because then it says God will make all grace. So if I put my heart in the right place, I put it amongst the treasures. And so abundance will come from me. And it creates, watch this, it'll create a magnetic field. Who's the magnetic field? God the Father. Because he said, the blessings of the Lord make it rich. See, we as Christians have to trust the sovereignty of God. See, let me read. I need to skip down to a particular verse I want to get to. Verse 24. Because we're going to define this in a way. I want to reveal what the Holy Spirit is telling me about the scripture in a way that will bring conviction you didn't know need to be there. Bring conviction where you didn't know it needed to be. Not condemnation. Conviction. Condemnation is when somebody looks down on you and don't give you no opportunity to change. Conviction is when somebody points something out at you and you have an opportunity to change. Point out going the wrong direction, I got the opportunity to change. So I'm going to point the scripture out in conviction. All right? And a lot of us don't know it needs to be there, and it's not our fault. Now, my brothers, my fellow clergymen, just hold on. I'm a clergyman, so when I stab you, I'm stabbing me. It's not your fault that you don't know that you should have conviction in this particular area. Because the priest rejected knowledge. So that's why we're getting destroyed. That's why we're being silenced. That's what destroyed. That's why our witness ain't carrying no weight in the earth realm. Verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. All right, so we read this scripture and we stay on the surface of this scripture. And so we try to keep money in its place. Right? We keep money, okay, God, I'm not gonna serve this money. I'm gonna serve you. And we figure if it's our we might not buy this, or we might not do this financially, that we're serving God. Or if I deny myself this, I'm serving God. That's not what this scripture is saying. It's not what the scripture is saying. Let's read it again. It says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and what?
Love
the other. Or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. All right? Go with me to Matthew, the 22nd chapter. We've been here before the 34th verse. Today is the day that you're getting out of the rat race.
Hallelujah.
Once again, you don't have to be the quickest. You don't have to be the smartest.
That's good.
You don't have to be the most talented. But you're going to have to be faithful. You're going to have a pure heart. Matthew 22, 34. When the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with what?
All
thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the laws and the prophets. Go with me to Mark, the 12th chapter, 30th verse, because it says it a little differently. Because there's, see, that's why I love the Gospels. Because each one of them wrote based on their personality and based on their skill set. And so, want to say Matthew says something, one thing, but here we're going to see Mark says something else. Same concept, but he says something else that's going to give us more light as to what Jesus was really talking about in Matthew. All right? In the 12th chapter, the 30th verse. Again, it said the scribes asked him the question. Verse 29, the first commandment, the first of all the commandments, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. All right, that's talking about the sovereignty of God. All right, verse 30, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy what? With all thy what? With all thy mind, right? And with all thy what? This is the first commandment. Now, Matthew said heart, mind, and soul. Luke added a word, strength or ability. So we got to love God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all of our abilities. So that's going to take a shift in your thinking. It's going to take a shift. How do I love God with all my abilities? The way that you're going, the first thing you're going to have to do to get out of the rat race is you're going to have to stop seeing your job where God has you as bondage. Now, why does it look like bondage to you? Why does it look like bondage? It looks like bondage because you say, I'm going to work to get this check. And they're not paying me enough to live like God wants me to live. So to me, this looks like bondage. So so watch this. When I get up in the morning, whether you're retired or not, whether you're volunteering or whatever, when I get up and I get on my way, I've already convinced myself that I'm in bondage. Why am I in bondage? Because I'm leaning on the arm of the flesh. It's not because they tell you got to be there from 9 to 5. You're only there from 9 to 5 because you know you need that check. But you're not, watch this. If even, I use apostle as an example. Apostle can't just call a meeting and don't give nobody no time and show up. Because you want people to be there. You can't just call a meeting, even if it's a one-on-one meeting, you just call a meeting and don't tell nobody else and they show and they don't, because they're not going to show up. So the 9 to 5 is so that you can cooperate with other people. I'm trying to shift your mentality to come out of the rat race. See, instead of looking at it from, I'm stuck here from 9 to 5 so I get this check, I'm meeting these people here so we can get something accomplished. Now watch this, now watch this. When you do that, you're shifting, listen at me, you're shifting your workplace from a place that is providing you income to a place that's providing you an opportunity to work for God. I'm not going there. Watch this. What I'm going there for to cooperate with these other people is my cover. That's my cover. That's the excuse I'm using to get in there. But my real reason for being there is so that God will have somebody in that place that he can touch the people around me. So now I can love God with all my strength. So now when I get up in the morning, I say, God, what are we going to do today on this job? Why I can do that? Because I'm not going there for the check. The reason I'm not going there for the check, because God, watch this, God is my source. And when I get on his plan, I get on his idea, I get on his concept, I get on his agenda, then it's not the responsibility of the company to pay me, it's God's responsibility to pay me. See, your imagination is keeping you in bondage when prosperity is already in you.
Yeah.
It's making sense. Maybe seated. So you cannot, so watch this. That's why it says, no man can serve two masters. For he will love the one. You cannot serve God. So if I'm getting up in the morning and my mindset is I'm going to make this money, then you're serving mammon. But if I get up in the morning, I get up early while I meet him. If I meet him early and we get our game plan together. God, what we going to do today, God? How you want to do this today, God? What do you have in store for me today? God, I just want to put, remember now, I'm with God, not asking him for nothing. This doesn't make sense. You cannot serve God and mammon. You will love the one and hate the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. See, so I can't, because a lot of us say, watch how we say stuff. I'm so thankful, God. God, you gave me this job. I'm thankful for this job. At the same time, you're complaining about it. And the reason why you're complaining about it, because in your imagination, you done, watch this. In your mind, you done created the bad workplace.
In your mind.
Listen. One of the fallacies that people think about the Garden of Eden is that Adam and Eve was going to stay there forever.
Right.
Adam and Eve wasn't going to stay in the Garden of Eden forever. Eden was training ground.
Yes, sir.
This is why God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and we're going to give them dominion.
Yeah.
Not trying to get dominion over people, but dominion over the atmosphere, dominion over my environment. Yeah. If things ain't going my way, then I can speak to where darkness is and light shows up. Yeah. So if I'm on my job and I'm facing racism, I'm not going to sit there and complain about it. I'm going to speak to the situation, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I'm not coming here working for these people. I'm here. That's my cover. That's my cover. See, you will not understand that until you fall in love with God the Father. Until you fall in love with his agenda. Until I use this word all the time in my class. Until you become God-centric. Not self-centric or self-centered. You become God-centered. Meaning, I'm not trying to get to God or go to God to find out what he could do for me.
Right.
I'm going to God because I want to know what I can do for you.
Right.
Maybe seated.
Yes, sir.
You cannot serve God and mammon system. You got to choose one or the other.
Yeah.